everybody. Welcome, welcome, welcome out. Give yourselves a big round of applause for coming out. Before we bring up a gentleman who loves to listen to and celebrate himself more than anybody, let me give you just a few little business things here. If you guys need to use the bathroom, you just go up those stairs. It's right to the right. Please keep your cell phones and pagers down. Pagers? What fucking... Turn your beepers off and your Zeniths. Just keep your cell phones down. If you guys need to send texts, you could just go right out over there, all right? You guys ready to have a good time tonight? Without further ado, this is What We're Drinking with Dan Dunn.
Well, pour yourself a glass, sit for a spill. It's time to have some fun. Let's do a little thinking, some picking and a drinking. Well, this is what we're drinking with Dan Dunn.
My favorite part. Welcome to the show, everybody. Cheers. Thank you for coming out for this live broadcast, What We're Drinking with Dan Dunn. In just a few minutes, we're going to have Justin Silver, Christina Hutchinson, and Joe DeRosa are going to be joining us. Three very funny people. Here's one who's he's not very funny.
No.
Not much at all. Funny starts in like 10 minutes. You know him. Would you say you're a star of stage and screen?
I am on the stage and screen.
Okay, he's on the stage and screen. You know him. Showtime, The Affair. He was on there. He got ran over by a car. Killed. Arrow on the CW.
Also killed.
Also killed. And Chicago Med dismembered. Right?
Not killed. No. I'm 2 for 3. It's two fine.
He was... Almost famous, in Almost Famous, which was almost on Broadway, and then COVID came along with a different idea.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this is Colin Donnell, everybody. Oh, I forgot his biggest role. He is the official East Coast co-host of What We're Drinking with Dan Dunn. What we are drinking tonight is gin. Does everybody have cocktails out there? I want to get a toast up. Right. So gin is the national spirit of England, as we know, but the history, it was actually invented by the Dutch. It's called Genever, and the English stole it, and they shortened the name. It's kind of what they did with Madonna. Remember, they took Madonna, and they started calling her Madge? Same thing. Gin and tonics. Are we having gin and tonics out there? We're all doing this. Yeah. That was in India. That's where that kind of started. The English went to India. And it was something about malaria, right, Phil?
Malaria.
They started drinking gin and tonics. And then the gimlet was also born, another gin drink, to prevent scurvy. Has anybody had scurvy in the audience?
Me.
You're welcome, the gin. Anyway, Colin.
Yes.
This is your first time out in 15 months.
Yes.
Like out of the house.
Out of the house, in front of an audience. This is the first time in front of an audience, and I don't actually know. Like, I mean, good Lord, it's been probably almost 2 years since I've been in front of people.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good thing. That's it. Whether or not you hate me or not, that's to be decided.
No,
but
I hate you.
Yeah, no, I have an 11-month-old daughter, so that's kept me mostly... Thank you. I appreciate the Oz. That's kept me mostly in the house since July 14th of last year, which is...
My birthday.
Hey-o.
So that's how I remember Colin as a daughter, because I'm often thinking about myself, and it's like, oh, July 14th, yeah, he has a... I was wondering about this with the kid.
Yeah.
I saw today in the lobby at the hotel, I saw a woman pushing a kid in a stroller. Do you think... tiny kids are going to, like, when it's really, really, really all over, are going to be like, what are these holes on the face and these protrusions, right? Because they've only seen people with masks on.
Look, I gotta say, like when our daughter was first born, you know, she was in the hospital, and then afterwards, we wondered if she actually knew what we looked like for a little bit without our masks on, because in the hospital, like every single person, of course, has a mask on, and she was in the hospital for a little while. I mean, she had some complications.
It's a comedy club. Comedy club. Okay.
Sorry.
Anyway. But, yeah, I mean, it's like everybody's either got a mask or they have a tan line from a mask. I mean, she was born during the summer, so it's like, tan face, white, bright white. The implications of this going forward for especially the young kids, it's wild.
Right, we're going to get off Colin now because it's a comedy club. By the way, the show is sponsored by Forge Gin. My dear friend Simon Ford was gonna be here. He wanted me to let everybody know. Was going to come, but he didn't want to. But I do see, and I'm lying about that because I can't see shit with this light right now, but my publicist friends here, any publicist friends in the audience? Yeah. It's like, it makes my job possible. And I got to tell you, like, booze industry publicists are the most dogged publicists in the world. There is not a day on the calendar that they cannot peg to a drink. I'm not trying, like... I get pitched. It's like, hey, Arbor Day's around the corner. What are you doing for this? I got one for Juneteenth. Juneteenth cocktails coming up. I got, but they're aggressive. But that's what gets us drinking, isn't it?
What day is next?
I don't know. Anybody know what is today a holiday?
We just had National Bourbon Day.
National Bourbon Day.
We just had National Gin Day.
Well, Negronis get a whole week. Do you guys know this? There's Negroni Week.
They I appreciate a holiday that spans an entire week.
Yeah, here we are. So anyway, I want to bring out the funny people. Unless you want to talk more about the hospital.
Nope.
Any other tragedies that have been befalling you in your life?
I'm going to try my drink.
All right. Do I need to, like, do a CV for these people? No, I don't need to do this. All dear friends of mine, they've all appeared on the show before. They've all been gracious enough to show up here and entertain you. Christina Hutchinson, Justin Silver, and Joe DeRosa. Thank you.
Hi. 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 Hi.
That's Justin.
Hi.
That's Christina, and that's
I'm Joe.
Okay, there we go.
Thank you.
Hi, guys. Welcome to the show.
Hi. How are you, Dan?
Thanks for having us, Dan.
You're welcome. There is a theme tonight, by the way. The theme is this, is being out in the wild again. I don't know about you guys. How many of you have been out? Like, this is kind of the first here. Yeah. It's been a bit disconcerting to me.
Uh-huh.
Walking around and just being like, wow, can we do this? Are we okay?
I know, it is weird. Since the pandemic, they started putting wreaths in drinks. Anyway, folks.
We got time.
Okay. You said bring out the funny people.
Oh, no, this is good.
Here we are.
Justin,
yes.
Care to counter that with some humor?
Not yet. I'm waiting.
Is this how it works?
I pick my moments.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Gotta bide the time.
I know you like to lead. So,
don't look at me yet, Dan. Come on.
So tell them what you do. What do you do? What do you do? What do you do?
What do you do?
I'm a star of stage and screen, like my friend.
Unlike your friend Colin Donnell.
No. I'm a comedian, an actor, a dog trainer, a charity founder, and I'm Dan Dunn's really good friend. There we go.
Aww.
Shut the fuck up.
Joe?
What's that?
Tell us about you. Tell us.
Why couldn't you write down intros for all of us, Dan?
That's like work, dude.
All right.
Yeah, you told me not to prepare.
Oh.
I actually was going to prepare, and Jesse, you don't need to. You just get up there.
I never said that.
No, I did. Joe?
I'm a writer and a stand-up comedian, sometimes an actor, and I have a sandwich shop called Joey Rose's. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I drink a lot.
Okay.
Oh, wait. I drink a lot, too.
Oh. And vape.
I just wanted to add to my resume.
There's a theme here.
Yeah.
And young lady, tell us a little bit about yourself.
I also drink a lot.
Good.
My name's Christina Hutchinson. I'm a stand-up comedian and an author and an actress. Yeah.
Yeah.
And a podcast host.
I like it.
And you got applause. Nobody clapped for me or Justin.
Thank you, everyone. I really appreciate it. I'm having a bad time, so that means a lot.
Colin, right?
Yeah.
You look so much like... Who is that comic? The real chauvinistic comic named Colin? Who was it?
We're off to a good start.
No, Colin.
Guy,
no,
that me, real chauvinistic too, piece of shit.
Yeah, there was a
Colin Kane's really hot, so it's a compliment. He's so, crazy, but he's hot.
Looks wise, it's not an insult.
Okay. No.
There was a comic named Colin Kane. He is an asshole. He is so such
hot.
An asshole. And when you showed up tonight and Dan goes, "This is Colin," I thought you were him. And I was like, "You've got to be kidding me right now. We got to sit down with this guy for an hour?
Just wait like 10 minutes.
Yeah, you haven't given him a shot yet.
That is true. That is true.
No, I'm not.
Are you Colin Kane? Come clean.
Maybe.
So you guys have a unique perspective about this because you work in a medium where you have to have this. And this didn't exist for 15 months. Mm-hmm. So what is it like now getting back out? Because people were doing weird shit, like in parking lots mm-hmm. where the cars...
Where cars were honking and flicking their lights for laughter. That was laughter.
Yeah. That was laughter.
Yeah.
We've gotten heckled by cars, helicopters, ambulance, homeless people yelling... Yeah.
Yeah. What people were doing specials like, "This is my special from the vestibule of this hotel," because we're only allowed to have four people inside. I would say that letting the public back into my life has only been a negative thing. I liked when I was staring at the wall and just talking to them in my head.
Just you and your sandwiches.
I met Joe on the show, and there were times, you know, everything was happening over Zoom. And we get on the Zoom, and Joe, I was like, "Did I catch you at a bad time?" Because we had this scheduled.
That's Joe always.
Joe,
like,
Joe is a bad time,
like,
man.
He hadn't showered in a couple of weeks, and I'm like, "Hey, you know, we got the guy from Faith No More on in like 2 minutes." And Joe's like, "Yeah, I'm good."
I don't think you're ever catching him at a good time.
No, there is no up.
So you're missing that.
The what?
You're missing that.
No, I'm just being funny. I actually think it's really nice being back in front of audiences. And I've found, I don't know if you agree or you agree, Justin, but I've found that the audiences, surprisingly, have been a lot more fun. And I don't mean that in an insulting way. I just, there was so much sensitivity before the pandemic with audiences. And I was worried that when you came back, it was going to be even worse, or at least at the same level. And I find that the crowds are way more open now into being like, "Ah, that's wrong, but we'll laugh at it." And, you know, like,
thank God.
Yeah.
When you've been in your apartment for 9 months, your standards have definitely lowered.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Thankful
so I agree
for us.
With you.
Yeah. I think people are craving intellectual stimulation of some kind, whether it's something silly or some really intricate bit that you're going to lead them to. But we don't want to stare at our TVs anymore or ever.
Right.
Yeah.
And do you...
Are they going to find it here tonight, Dan?
No.
Intellectual
Wrong room.
Stimulation.
I mean, you've been out on the road now for a couple of weeks,
yeah.
right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Same situation that Joe's saying. Are you finding the crowds are more enthusiastic or people like...
They want to be there.
Were you weirded out, though, being in these rooms, like being in comedy? Because comedy clubs are not well ventilated. I don't know if you know this or not. Was there a moment when you're like, "All right, I got to just dive in and go do it"?
No, because I was producing and hosting a show in an alleyway for a lot of the fall and some of the winter. So I was just happy to have heat. Honestly, I was excited to be inside. Like Joe said, it really seemed like the audiences wanted to be there, which was such a treat. Because sometimes it's like you get on stage and everyone's like, "Perform for me, clown," and you're like, "Oh God!" And so it's not good. But now you like want us to be funny, and that's great.
And even as it goes further, and like you see how full this room is right now. Congratulations, Dan.
You're so popular, Dan Dunn. Oh my God!
But it was like first it was sparse, and now it's filling up, and people's masks are off, so you can actually see their faces when they're laughing. So it's just getting better and better.
Oh, sorry.
Go ahead. Your enthusiasm's appreciated. Go ahead.
Sorry. Did you guys do the car shows, the drive-in shows?
Oh, yeah, yes, I did.
What was that like? I never did one. I couldn't even wrap my head around the concept of
it. I did one in a diner in Queens, and it was okay. You just couldn't tell if anyone heard what you were saying. So you were kind of talking into the ether.
All right,
so they're in their cars.
Yes.
So how are they hearing you?
They tune into a radio station. Yeah, it's hit or miss. Big hit or miss. And there were children there, and I'm like, "Yeah, let's leave your kids home," but yeah.
Is there anything you're going... Because I've thought about this. There are things I'm going to miss about pandemic life. How about you guys?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Just... Like,
Yeah.
Like just, well, you said it, leaving the house, you know, for instance. Like not feeling like you have to.
It was a great excuse to do a lot of drugs.
Yes.
Yeah. Alone in your home.
Joe, I don't know what you mean when I was sitting there in your apartment with you doing all those drugs alone in your apartment with you. Yeah.
Socially distanced, of course.
I'm going to miss that. I'm sitting up at 6 a.m. going, do you think this was engineered or do you think they didn't? I don't know. Because I think it could have been fucking engineered, man.
I remember Joe and Justin called me one time. So I'm in California. It's probably 2 in the morning in California. And my phone, and I'm like, oh, shit, somebody died, right? Because it's Justin. I'm like, oh.
Or someone's on cocaine.
And it's or they're on.
That would be
Joe
half my brain cells down.
And he's like, Joe wants to talk to you. And he gets on. He's like, hey, man, listen. I think I should go host the show with you. I just really think you and I did such a great job together. Co-host
he
the show,
wasn't
like,
looking for a co-host. I just cold-called him and pitched him that.
At 5 o'clock in the morning.
On cocaine.
Yeah, like, you should just let me co-host the show, right? And Dan was like, no. And I was like, yeah, you're right. All right, I'll see you later. I gotta go.
I was there for the 3 hours that prefaced that conversation, though. The brainstorming session we had.
Justin was like, dude, I'll be into it. It's a great idea, dude.
And then I felt bad when I hung up because I'm like, man, I just totally harshed his buzz right there. I should have been like, yes, Joe, great idea.
Nothing was harsh in that buzz.
No,
I got to do it for you.
I have two things I'll miss. Okay. One is Joe and I actually shared a lovely Thanksgiving together. And I didn't have to go home and see my family, and it wasn't even expected of me because we weren't supposed to. So there was just no way I could ever feel guilt. That's the most most incredible Thanksgiving I've ever had. Me and Joe, microwave and shit, playing Nintendo, and it was great.
That was a nice day.
It was really nice.
Yeah, we made all like we did a white trash Thanksgiving. We made all like
we
made like stovetop stuffing and microwave green bean casserole, and she brought fried chicken instead of turkey. And
it was great.
It was great. We played Super Mario 3. It was fun.
Smoked a little weed. Yeah, and then also I have, of course, cocaine, all of it.
Well, you just
ecstasy.
Smoke the weed to take the edge off the cocaine.
Well, yeah, first you do cocaine, then you smoke weed, but then you get some Molly because everything's starting to die down.
Yeah.
And then I have FOMO a lot. And there was no possible way to experience FOMO when everyone is at home. That's never happened. Probably will never happen again. And I cherished every second of that.
Friends, I'm going to lay some stats on you. 25% of Americans drink cocktails at least once a week. But enjoying craft cocktails at home often can be an expensive, time-consuming hassle. Unless you heed my advice and get on board the Fresh Victor train. Fresh Victor is a line of all-natural, clean-label cocktail mixers that make the best drinks as conveniently and consistently as possible. All of the ingredients are fair trade sourced. There's no artificiality, none. And the bonus of a fresh mixer over a ready-made canned cocktail is not just the jump in quality and freshness, but the fun of actually making yourself and your guests a killer drink. One 16-ounce bottle of Fresh Victor yields 5 cocktails, and Fresh Victor is ready to drink the moment you bring it home. Simply serve cold with ice and the spirit of your choice, or get fancy with one of their in-house mixologist award-winning recipes. Fresh Victor's good for up to 2 months in the fridge unopened, and they retain their fresh flavor a couple of weeks once you do crack the seal. Available nationwide, direct to your door via www.freshvictor.com. Coming to a retailer near you soon. World of cocktail mixes, there's a holy grail, and it's Fresh Victor.
I think for me, the big early on in COVID, I remember like probably the first day, it was 2 or 3 weeks in, when I thought, I want to have a drink, and it was like 11 a.m. on a Tuesday, and I was like,
seems late.
Oh. I can't do that. And then I thought, well, of course I can. And then and then as things got worse, like when you're like, oh shit, man, this isn't over. Remember, because in the beginning they told us it was going to be 2 weeks. Remember that? And then it was like, well, it's going to be way longer than
two weeks.
And then I'm like, why can't I drink at 11 a.m.? You know, who am I hurting here? And then
There was no one around. There was no one around to go, Dan, that's not a good idea.
What a bad idea.
Dude, the loss of time and schedule was like my favorite. I feel like I was in like you know the documentaries where they send people to Alaska and they got to like live for like 100 days and all this shit and then they give them $1 million at the end. Mm-hmm. I mean, except for the, you know, my unemployment checks didn't cover that much, but other than that it was exactly the same. That's how I felt.
Is it Monday? Is it Saturday? Is it Thursday? Is it Thursday?
Right? There was an interesting thing to. I mean, I ate Entenmann's cake for breakfast on many days.
That was yesterday, Joe.
Yeah.
You can't tell, Joe.
Yeah, I'm in great shape.
Those pants look good on you.
Thank you, thank you. I sent a picture of me in these pants to Chris DiStefano, and he wrote back, ugh, what a pig. Anyway, but there was something to that. Like, I'm going to eat cake at 9 a.m. Who cares? I'm going to play Nintendo at 10 a.m. Who cares? Like, there was no rhyme or reason to any of it. It was crazy.
It's a reprieve.
But now everyone's walking around and we're back to like doing our jobs and no one knows how to do anything. I feel like we've lost all ability to be focused.
Yes. Well, and again, that's that pressure now. Like, you have to do things. I've been on the road for 2 weeks and I'm going back. And a friend of mine said, hey, I got passes for the U.S. Open. It's in San Diego. You got to come, man. They're VIP passes. And I'm like, God, I feel like I do have to go, but I don't want to go. I'm so fucking exhausted. I've been walking around New York. I'm like, can I just get back into my house again and just Zoom with people every couple of days? I mean, I'm going to miss that, really.
Yeah. Also, hugging's coming back.
Can you and I just Zoom together?
Hugging has come back.
Hugging's coming back, and I don't like that. I thought I liked hugging, but I realized it was just social anxiety, and I just hugged people before they had a chance to decide whether they wanted to hug me or not. And now I don't hug anybody, but now that hugging's back, I got to fucking revisit that.
Just keep throwing out elbows at people?
Yeah. Maybe,
But fucking's coming back, too. That's good, no, right?
Yeah, that's true, yeah. I'm going to try.
9 months!
I'm going to try.
9 months with this punum.
You know what else I will miss is being able to get out of any podcast by going, I'm too depressed, I'm sorry.
Oh.
That was a great excuse. Some guy from, you know, fucking Albuquerque emails you and he's like,
Since we're all doing Zoom now.
I'm really into your comedy. Do you want to do my podcast? You know, I usually go, yeah, all right.
You say yeah?
I always say yeah.
Why?
And a lot of the time I end up having a good time. But during this thing, I just went, you know, buddy, the world is so fucked up.
Tiny violin.
Me and Justin are just doing drugs in my apartment, trying to work shit out. I may do Dan Dunn's podcast. We'll talk later.
Like, it's so clear why you two are friends.
Me and Joe?
I'm friends with both of them. And I have these conversations where Justin, he'll just go, can I say this? Yeah, of course I can.
Say whatever you want. I don't give a shit.
What are you going to say?
Crowd of strangers. And Justin will call me. He's like, dude, I'm not doing good. Right? And then he'll start telling me, like, he had the most amazing... He's like, I was out at this, my friend's place out in the Hamptons.
In the Hamptons.
With the horses.
I live a very Illuminati
lifestyle. It was Madonna's birthday party.
Me and Christina went.
I met Madonna. That was pretty cool, yeah.
And this is like the day after.
Yeah.
And I'm like, so what are you not doing good with? And he's like, I don't know what I'm doing with my life. And explain that.
It's called...
Because I think if anybody else went to Madonna's birthday party for the weekend in the Hamptons, they'd be like, I'm kind of winning.
They're called bad chemicals, Dan. Depression
doesn't care who Madonna is, Dan.
Were you depressed after the Madonna?
Not after that, but other times. Yeah.
Let's talk about your depression.
I was actually on a high from the Madonna thing.
You were on a high from
yeah.
You want, that's so funny.
Colin, do you want to talk about the hospital some more?
Yep.
Okay, what happened there?
No, what I'll just bring it all down.
There's razor blades under everybody's chair, everybody, in case,
yes,
you know.
Yes, right. No, what are you going to miss about quarantine?
You know, honestly, well, this is the most wholesome thing you'll hear tonight. My spending time with my daughter. I've got an 11-month-old at home.
Like,
the good thing that came out of it is that I got to spend time with my daughter.
Really?
That was awesome.
Really? Is this what we're doing now?
Yes. Yes, it's what we're doing. I am wholesome as fuck.
Are you trying to make us feel bad that we don't have families, Colin?
Yeah, we don't. None of us do. Yeah.
Did you say she's 11 months old?
11 months old.
So you basically, like, you know, her first year has been through this whole thing.
Yeah, it's really fucked up.
That is.
And she doesn't know how weird it's been.
No, not at all. And she won't remember until I show her pictures constantly of everything we went through to bring her into this world.
Oh, my God. You're going to have too many videos of her. Like, I feel like our kids now are just going to be too... photographed.
Yeah, no, it's like every day I look through some photos and it's just like 800 pictures of her, which I love. It's great, but like they're all just a little bit different. And I'm like, no, that one's good. That one's okay. That one's good. That one's really good. Like it's a little fucked up. I'm like photo approvaling my daughter.
Right.
Like throughout the age of 10 months to 11 months.
And then we have to pretend because Colin will send me photos. I go, oh, and it's, you know, it's and it's a lovely picture. And your daughter's lovely.
No.
And then I go, oh, that's so cute. And I'm like, I don't care.
Look,
kids.
I
like, people say, I mean, I care about your daughter.
No,
you're saying, like, when
no, you don't.
Yeah,
because
he doesn't care.
Was born on the same day as you. That's fine.
I'm saying, when people send you pictures of their kids, does anybody that's single and do you care, Justin?
My brother had a baby today.
Today.
I swear to God.
And he doesn't even care.
He sent me a picture. I looked at it. I'm like, cute. I'll meet it. But then if someone sends me a picture of their dog.
I'll
But however, your dog, Buna, who's in L.A. right now with her friend, Whitney, I've watched that dog play with her cat on video 30 minutes while I'm alone in my apartment. So that's where I'm at.
That's fair. That's
fair. Yeah, babies don't do tricks.
No, we usually send along a picture of the dogs along with the picture of the baby. But we do have a rule. 30 seconds or under for the videos of the baby. Nobody wants to look at a fucking video of a baby for more than 30 seconds.
Yeah. Yeah, some people do.
Yeah. It's either 30 seconds or an hour.
You guys are... Don't be so uptight, please.
Not
that was the funniest thing
I'm
on the pile.
I'm making a joke. That's not me. I'm just saying. There's some people that...
No, my parents do. Yes, you're right.
That's it's, not the it, joke
it,
I was making.
No, I
sure.
know it wasn't, yeah. but I'm just going to bring it around.
No, I know. Fair enough. Oh, fair enough.
The lights that are making me sweat.
Yeah. I'm sweating my balls off right now.
No. I'm freezing.
Are you cold?
Yeah.
Cold?
I'm always cold.
All right. Go ahead, Joe. Keep going with that.
What?
The pedophile stuff.
The pedophile stuff.
Fords, would you like to sponsor me? I'm fucking around. But yeah, I hear you. I actually appreciate that you're aware of that because I feel like most people that have children think, this is the, I hate when new parents say this. I hate it. When they go, I know everybody says this, but my kid really is something else. And it's like, no, it's
not.
No,
he's not. Yeah.
It's just like the other kids that all the other parents
exactly
say that about.
Right.
So I appreciate that you're like, I get it. It's my kid, 30 seconds, whatever. I had a psycho once say to me, he goes, if somebody doesn't ask me about my kids, I'm not fucking friends with them anymore.
Oh, he has
and I was
no
like,
friends.
Well, then cut me off now. I'm never asking you.
I think it's the whole, like, you know, you got to wait till the end of the video thing. And it's like a minute and 30 seconds, 2 minutes. I'm like, I don't want to, I just want to fast forward. Cut me the 15 seconds where he does, or he or she does the really cute thing.
Yeah.
That's fine. That's all I want to see.
Yeah.
That's all I want to see.
You want to see your friends' kids do cute things?
I mean...
Do you?
Sometimes.
Yeah.
You know.
More so now that I have my own kid.
Right, because you could compare. Yeah, I'm like, nah, like, mine's better.
Yeah, is she doing better or is she not? Is she better than him?
But a dog, on the other hand.
Oh, always great, all the time.
They get the zoomies. Kids don't get the zoomies.
I got a dog during quarantine.
Was that one of those during quarantine?
Yeah, when it first hit, I adopted a little six-week-old miniature dachshund puppy. It was the best
name
time of my
is,
life.
We know this.
His name is Kevin.
Kevin.
Mm-hmm. From? What's his? Why?
Kevin McAllister from Home Alone. It's Kevin McAllister Hutchinson, his full name, yeah. But I had to take him to the ER a couple months in because he was sitting down and then all of a sudden he just fell over. Like, he just fell over. I'm like, I'm pretty sure dogs shouldn't be doing that. And I propped him back up.
By the way, he's a dachshund, so that's almost impossible to
right.
happen.
Right, very
so
long
like,
dog.
Phenomenon.
And I propped him back up, and then he fell over again, and then Justin didn't answer the phone because it was 3 a.m, and he's probably doing cocaine with Joe, so we had it on
100%
silent.
100%, that's
pitch
what
me on
I was
a podcast
doing.
Idea.
So I had to go to the vet ER in the middle of the night, but this was peak COVID when there was refrigerator trucks for bodies parked outside of my apartment because I lived near the hospitals. So they took Kevin from me and ran into the vet, and they told me to sit in a tent underneath the FDR, like a waiting area. And I sat there for 2 hours.
You were a homeless person.
Basically, yeah. In a tent, though. It was a big tent. And I was crying and chain smoking, and then 2 hours later they called me and they were like, hey, do you smoke weed? And I was like, yeah. Come on. And Kevin allegedly apparently he had eaten marijuana, so he was just high. So I was like, oh, okay. I'm sorry, buddy. I would have given you some meat.
And Joe, you want to tell us about when your dog had the heart attack? What did he eat?
My dog needed bypass surgery.
So we talked about we're going to miss about quarantine. What are you most looking forward to about being out now?
Like, well, Dan, I can sum it up in 3 words.
Okay.
Fucking... sucking and plucking. No, I don't know.
Are you having sex with chickens?
Yeah.
But
defeathered ones.
I miss my chicken business. No, I don't know. I'm not looking forward to traveling again, and I have to do that soon.
I love you, man. I love you so much. No, please keep like the negativity that comes. But it's like it's a weird.
It's comforting.
It's a comforting. You're right. It's a comforting negativity. I know
like
that if I'm feeling
here.
Like shit, I can call Joe, and when I get off the phone with him, I'm going to be feeling so much better about my life. That's why I'm friends with him.
Yeah. Yeah. when you give him cocaine, it's even amped.
Let me call Joe, because I'm feeling bad.
By the way, I don't do cocaine constantly. Let's just clear that up, please.
Me neither.
Can we just make that clear that I'm not constantly doing cocaine? Anyway, honestly, I'm a man of simple pleasures. The thing that I'm enjoying the most, and I still haven't gotten over it, even though for weeks we've been able to do it, there's something about being able to sit at a bar again. Yes. And I'm not just saying that given the theme of the podcast.
There's the alcoholics. There we go. There we go.
Woo!
Well,
I live
that out, Dan.
I live on the Lower East Side near a bar called Old Man Hustle. It's a great little dive. And like last night, I got home, you know, before midnight. It wasn't crazy late. And I was out with some friends for a meeting, and everybody went home. But we had a few drinks. So I was like, you know what? I could go for one more. And just the joy of being able to walk into your local bar one more time, or once again, rather, and sit down at the bar where you know the bartender and be like, hey, how you doing? Like, I'll take a beer. Drank half of it. Like, all right, I'm good. I'll see you later. Good night. Like, that to me is, that's the part of everything that I missed, was that little, New York is such a busy city. It's so crazy. It's such an ant colony. And those little moments of connection when you get to your favorite places are really what defines why living here is so beautiful, you know? And that, to me, is really great, you know?
Yeah.
Here, here. Yeah.
I'm stuck on the part where you left half a beer on the table, but that's fine.
I did a shot, too. Okay. I was like, I got to go home.
Someone went.
Yeah, I was like, I gotta go. But also, can I get one of these drinks that has sprouts in it, please? I want to try one of these things.
Do you want to try this one?
It's like, which one is that?
Drinking a garden.
The one that I haven't touched.
All right,
shit.
Never mind, I'll drink
Christian.
It.
By the way, I forgot that this is the part I was supposed to do 30 minutes ago.
Here he is.
Probably.
Christian, can you come out and tell us exactly what we're drinking?
Hey-o!
Everybody, this is Christian, who is the beverage director here at the stand, and he is a very talented person. Come over here.
Over there,
best mixologist in New York City, Christian Orlando, ladies and gentlemen.
What are we drinking, Christian?
So the first drink that we're doing in the fancy glass is a Spanish-style gin and tea. Gin and tonic, sorry. We did forged gin. Just hang on.
Yep.
We did forged gin, a little bit of Japanese plum liqueur that just came out, some bergamot with lavender from Torino. We did a infused tonic with rosemary and grapefruit, and a little bit of spiced pineapple syrup. So for the first one. So all the fancy stuff. And then for the second one that Justin told him now, this is a signature drink that we have at the stand. It's called the Green Room. It is forged in, once again. We did a little bit of lime juice, and then they made a pickled honeydew shrub with a little bit of Saint Germain and some green chartreuse. So it's herbaceous, citrusy, a little bit of sour, acidic. It's nice.
Wow. This is gin?
That's gin.
You know what? I didn't know this was gin. I normally can't ever drink gin.
That's how we get you.
Yeah.
Can you write that down?
No. I know the first thing I ever got drunk on when I was 11 was gin, and I got so drunk that I made myself sick.
11.
Oh my God.
No, I've made up for it since then. Relax, homeboy. And I got so sick on it that it had like a, you know, it imprinted in my brain.
So it was the gin's fault. You were 11.
Well, in Justin's defense, his uncle was giving it to him.
This is fantastic, Christian. You're very talented.
Christian, I want to try one of these ones.
You got it. I'll be right back.
You don't have to leave.
I guess you're done now, Christian. Joe's like, all right.
No,
now fetch me a drink. Thank you.
No,
Christian Orlando, everybody, making the drinks for us.
Yeah. Joe, can I have that one back then?
Yeah, you can have this back.
Okay.
It's going to be a little too... Once he described it, I was like, it's going to be too much fruit in the drink for me right now.
That's fine.
I want to go with one of these.
Colin?
Yeah?
What are you looking forward to? Now that the world has opened up to you, you can go out. You can do anything you want.
I can do anything I want. You know, I mean, Joe's story kind of hit home. I mean, we actually really looked forward to taking our daughter like to a bar and just kind of hanging out.
Yeah, leave it on the counter.
Maybe you could take some pictures of her there.
Sit her on a bar.
Yeah.
You take
hang
pictures.
Her on the
you put
thing.
It on Instagram, and it'll be a whole thing. You put a meme up.
Put a little cigar in front of her.
I mean, honestly, one of the things that this is this night is fucking scratching an itch so hard for me.
That's me. Not
sounds
being,
like an STD.
That's me touching your leg right
under
now.
The
yeah.
table. If anybody's sorry. Looking, Dan is tickling me. No, it's so fun to be on a stage in front of an audience, and even though this is not my venue, this is so much fun to be, like, I don't know, fucking interacting with people again,
yeah.
like in a way that I haven't. And walking down the street, I took the subway for the first time in 15 months. I walked down the streets of New York
with
everybody
people breathing
looking at
on
my
you.
Mustache.
Yeah, breathing
like,
on you.
It was just it feels good. It feels alive. It feels alive in a way that it hasn't been possible in a long time.
Joe, care to counter that with something downbeat?
No, I agree.
Can you move down
with,
a little bit?
I agree
yeah,
with
there's a little kumbaya going on over here.
I totally agree with you. I totally agree with you. I do have you know what? I'll quote George Carlin. He said, I cherish people as individuals. I hate and despise the groups they join and identify with. That's how I feel. I love people as individuals, so I love having those moments back where you can have these interactions, and you know, whether it's your bartender or your barista. I have a barista. He's a great guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's nice going in. I went in today and I talked to him, even though coffee is starting to make me sick because I'm 43 now.
I
still went in to get the coffee because I wanted to see the guy.
Aww.
The laundromat lady that I always go to.
Yeah.
You know, that folds my things so nice. You know what I mean?
Especially in New York, like you live in these neighborhoods where you really, really get to know all the people that you interact with on a daily basis.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bartenders, baristas, laundromat people.
Pet store guy.
Delis, yes. Pet store guys, especially when your dog tips over.
Yeah.
Especially. Like, everything, it's the day-to-day life that you don't, that you sort of take for granted before a global pandemic hits.
Yeah.
But now we actually know what it is, and we can appreciate it for what it is.
Yeah, I agree.
When the next one comes, we're going to be prepared.
Yeah.
We're going to have this down.
Yeah.
Don't say that.
I don't know. Is it done? What do you guys think? Do you think it's done?
Is there a doctor here?
Is anyone out there brave enough to tell us what they're most looking forward to? Somebody, right? Anybody? Phil Duff? What is it?
Fingers and holes.
Oh.
You could have done that the whole time. Whatever hole you want. I mean,
strangers' fingers and holes?
I don't know. Oh.
Okay.
Wow, that's a little different. Just leave your mask on.
Yeah. Go ahead, Justin.
What?
Tell us. What are you most looking forward to?
This sounds so trite. I hated the fucking masks. I hated wearing masks, so I love not wearing masks. I hated having to put it on every time. I had COVID really bad early on, and after that, I was like, I didn't give a shit. You know?
Yeah, you had like, COVID. I was over your house, and then the next day, you were like, guys.
You gave him COVID?
No. Oh, I don't know where you got it
no,
from.
No, none of them got it.
I can't believe I didn't get it, because I definitely was with him while he was contagious. Yeah, you got it. I didn't get it.
You weren't sick.
Who
like
in the room
was...
has had COVID? Right, get the fuck out. No, I'm kidding.
Bad? Did you have it really bad? No?
No.
You didn't know you had it.
Yeah. She said it's like chlamydia.
Say that again. What'd you say?
Okay. Anybody else have COVID?
Wow. Are you from Philly, miss?
Wait, you had COVID twice? Did you get symptoms both times? None times?
I was in bed for a month.
No, you weren't. You were in bed for 5 days.
No, not Joe. Bullshit. I was in bed for a month.
Justin, no, you weren't.
I was in bed for 2 days. Weeks, and then the weakness was like, it overtook me. I'm Jewish, so this is what we do, by the way, so. We dramatize and make it worse than it.
Yeah.
So that's the first thing. I hated the mask. Number two, I'm glad to get rid of dating apps. 147 conversations going absolutely nowhere.
Come on.
The best was like the small talk people who were like, hey, what's your favorite color? And if you were on a desert island, I'm like, are you out of your mind right now? If you're not like, you know, they're drawing dicks on the Capitol building. Like, you know, have real talk with me. There was that. And what? Honestly, comedy is a very, very difficult thing to do. And you have to really bleed for it. And there's no feeling like getting up on stage. It's like you're having 80 personal conversations at the same time. And I did not like the distance of people being, you know, when we did some of these shows, like 9 feet back from the stage and then so spaced out. So the fact that clubs are sort of filling up again, I'm excited to be going on the road. Me and Christina will probably do some stuff, me and Joe. So that's like, it's a great feeling that we work really hard for. So I'm excited to do that again. You know?
It's beautiful.
You're beautiful.
Thank you very much.
I think you look fantastic.
A lot of love in this room.
Yeah.
Right now.
What about you, Dan?
What?
What about you?
Yeah.
I don't have hopes.
Feelings?
I don't have hopes.
I don't hopes? Look
forward,
no hopes?
I don't look forward to things.
Yeah.
No.
Have you been talking what to makes Joe you happy? A lot?
Joe and I are thinking about starting a dystopian podcast.
Dan lives the weirdest life out of anybody I ever know. He lives on the beach in California.
On the beach, just no house.
Yeah, on the beach.
There.
In a tent.
I'm like Mel
Gibson.
But
you'll Gibson. Call him. You'll call weapon. Him and be like, what'd you do last night? And he's like, I got shit-faced with Allison Janney. You're like, what the fuck are you talking about? Like, he knows everybody. You know everybody.
Yeah,
it's so
well, the funniest
weird.
Thing about doing the podcast over Zoom for the last 15 months, so I'd have these moments. So one of my favorites was I had Bryan Cranston on the show from Breaking Bad.
Never
and
heard of him.
So we
here
did,
he goes.
We did about an yeah, dropping the name.
That's
so
cool.
We did about an hour, and you guys heard in the beginning some of the promos we had. So I wrote a promo, and you all Breaking Bad fans, so we know the show. So I wrote this promo, and I was so excited about this promo. One of the famous lines in the show, and he says, "I'm the one who knocks." Right. So I write this promo, and we finish taping. And I stopped the Zoom, the recording part of it. I stopped the recorder. And then he and I proceed to drink for another hour, just wow. kicking it, drinking mezcal. And then I'm about to get off with him, and I sit, not get off with him. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
I was a big fan of the show. So we're about to hang up, and then I remembered, like just how I remembered that I was supposed to have Christian on a half hour ago. I go, Brian, I have this promo. I don't know if you want to do it. I don't know if you want to touch the Breaking Bad. But he goes, yeah, no, I'll totally do it. I'm like, oh, great.
Wow.
And he says, this is Bryan Cranston. And I'm the one who knocks back mezcal on what we're drinking with Dan Dunn. And he just sells it, right? And I'm like, holy shit. It's the greatest thing that ever happened. I'm like, oh, thank you. We hang up.
Not the birth of Colin's baby?
Forgot to turn the record. Forgot to
no.
turn the recorder on.
No.
I'm like, no.
You forgot to...
No!
You didn't record
it?
Oh,
my God.
I didn't record it.
You'll have it in your head. You'll have it in your head. It's a good story.
That's I have a similar story.
Okay.
Well, sort of similar, but it involves booze and blown opportunity.
So. Yes!
No one identifies with that.
I was here at an event one night, and I looked over. Who do I see? Dave Grohl of Nirvana and Foo Fighters fame. I'm wearing a Motorhead T-shirt. Motorhead became my favorite band, or my second favorite band, after I watched the Motorhead documentary that Dave Grohl was heavily involved in. So I'm like, I'm a little tipsy, and I'm like, I want to go talk to Dave Grohl and tell him thank you for this. You gave me this such a gift. And I went over to him. I'm like, hey, Dave, I'm sorry to bother you. I'm wearing my Motorhead shirt. I love them so much. It's because of all the things you said in the documentary. You're the one that made me. And he's like, dude, yeah, Lemmy's the man in Motorhead. And I go... You want to do a shot? And he goes, yes. And we walked to that bar, and lights out. I did shot after shot with Dave Grohl. The next day, everybody was like, dude, you hung out with Dave Grohl for 3 hours last night. And I was like, I don't remember any of it. Any of it.
Shit. Can we get the security footage on that?
This is the one, I swear to God, this is the one thing I remember. We were talking about bands that are awesome. And we were going on for so long about Motorhead and King Crimson and all these bands that finally I go, you know, Dave, Nirvana's pretty good too, man.
Do you know Nirvana? Have you ever heard Nirvana? You're like Chris Farley.
That's all I heard. Yeah, exactly. Woke up in the back
I accidentally
back
hit
office.
On one of Madonna's underage kids, so.
Wait, let's hear this. I
really thought he was older.
How old was he?
It was young. He was young. And I like older. I don't even like anybody my age. And I'm like, oh my God, he's so cute and nice. And he was like 16. I didn't say anything weird, but I was like, oh, hello. And then, nope.
How was he?
No, we didn't. No. It was just some light flirting, maybe, yeah, and then oopsies.
Was this at the party?
Yeah.
Okay.
What was guys?
Justin's making a weird face over here. Are you sure?
I'm like, the things chicks can get away with saying. That's all. I'm like,
I didn't know. There's
not going to be a hashtag at the end of this. It's like, nah, go ahead.
What was Madonna like?
She's cool. She just had an injury or something, like sprained or something, so she was a little slow. She had a cane. Yeah. She was very little, and honestly, I was like, yeah, with like a diamond at the top and whatever. And she was there with all of her kids, and all of her kids were like really sweet, nice kids.
Apparently,
and, yeah. Yeah, one of them especially. And she was just shy and to herself. I had the puppy at the time, Kevin, so I brought him, and I went upstairs to get him as like bait to like, and maybe Madonna wants to talk to me with this.
Yeah.
No, not the. Yeah, shit. I brought the puppy and I was just waving him in the air, hoping Madonna would say, "Oh my God, is that a puppy?" But she didn't care.
She was quiet.
I mean, that's like meeting. I remember one time I did a radio show with DJ Who Kid from Shady 45.
Oh, we've interviewed him. He's great.
Yeah, he's great. And he was like, it was after Michael Jackson died, and he was like, "I ate dinner with Michael Jackson once in a castle in Europe." And they go, "What was he like?" And he goes, "He was really nice. He was reading a book with a skull on the cover, and then he went to bed." And that was the whole story. And it's like, yeah, that's a perfect, you know what I mean? Like, what else would it be? You know, like, but Madonna's like that. It's like Michael Jackson, it's Springsteen, Prince. I mean, there's not many.
She was chilling, yeah.
That's wild.
Yeah.
Do you have an awkward celebrity meeting?
Besides Colin.
Besides me. Yeah.
Can I tell you something?
Yeah.
I have a favorite celebrity meeting.
Okay. Oh.
And Dan will tell you this story. When we went to San Diego.
Oh, man. So
who's now a good friend of yours. And it sort of brings us full circle.
We all know the band Tool.
Oh,
so yeah. Maynard James Keenan is a friend of mine. And Justin is the biggest Tool fan of all time. So this is what a dick I am. We get tickets to go see Tool in San Diego. We're going to have lunch with Maynard. We're going backstage. We're doing the whole thing. It's a Sunday. Sunday morning, I wake up, and I'm like, man, I don't want to go. This is what I'm thinking. So I text him, and I lie, and I say I'm not feeling well.
No, you said you had a rough night or something like that.
I was lying.
Okay.
I'm coming
he
clean
just
now.
Straight up didn't want to hang out.
I felt completely fine. I was totally fine. So I text him, and I said, man, I think I'm getting AIDS or something. And would you be upset if we didn't go? And he said, I'm not going to lie to you. I'm going to be hurt. But if you're not feeling well, that's okay. I said, let me think about it.
I was lying too.
I would have been like, no, fuck face. Get out of bed. We're going.
And so I was like, all right, well, that's really cool of him. And then I had like this weird feeling of like humanity where I went, oh, I can't.
Well, the way you said it, what your favorite musician is?
Oh, don't do this to me.
Shania
right now.
Twain.
Oh, come on, everybody knows
it. Make fun of me. Bono, you two, okay.
And
you,
the way you said it to me, it's like if someone was going to say, if I could have lunch and then go backstage with Bono, how would I feel? But that's how you
said it. Hold on, I'm stuck on that his favorite musician is Bono.
I knew this was going to happen. All right, no, we'll go back.
Would it be
what
dark?
Is it the sunglasses or the champ hair? I'm kidding. I respect Bono. I respect
anyway,
Bono. I'm just joking.
I called him back and I said, you know, we're going to go. Let's go down. And we go to San Diego and we go to sushi and we're having sushi with Maynard and Justin is sitting next to him and talking to him for like an hour. And it was like, wow, it's cool when you do nice things for people.
You should do it more often.
Grinch?
I was like, what a weird feeling this is.
Oh my
and
God.
then we went out in the street and we walked Maynard back to the hotel and he said, I'll see you tonight at the show. And Justin grabs me in Mill Street and he says, hey man, thank you. And then I get awkward when people, you know, like,
and then
okay.
We kissed.
And then we kissed.
And then the fingered each other's
buttocks. And then he said, no, really, thank you. And that's the last nice thing I've ever done for you.
No, right?
Men are so emotionally stunted.
I love you and appreciate that. That was a great night. We've met. The interesting thing. I work with a lot of celebrities because of the other thing I do with dogs. But I
he
never
made out with Zoe Kravitz.
Oh,
anybody
yeah.
watch High Fidelity? He played the boyfriend of Zoe Kravitz on High Fidelity.
I did.
Yeah. Stand-up comedian named Justin.
Very good.
Woo.
Yeah. I have a question about the lunch with Maynard.
Yes.
when Maynard's ramping up to his order, does he do a 3.5 ominous intro that goes nowhere?
Ho! Hey-o!
That's a tool joke. If you got it, you know what tool sounds like.
You know? So, it looks like we got to wrap up because there's another show here. These two guys right after us.
We're not banging.
You guys are welcome to stay if you want. Yes, Christina two, and I host a show down here. Joe's going to perform
comedy,
on
baby.
It.
I want to, first off, I want to thank all of you for coming out for all the reasons that we discussed. I want to thank Joe, Christina, Colin, and Justin for being here. You know, the last 2 weeks I've been on the road, it's been very emotional, sort of, we kid about all this stuff, but seeing people, being back out, feeling like life is real again, because I think, I don't know about you guys, but there were moments when I wasn't sure this was ever going to happen again, right? Like, you know, what was I going to live? We're going to make it? What's going to happen to the world? And the fact that we're all here is so special to me. It means a lot. And also looking out into the crowd, there's a lot of people here that are very near and dear to me, people I love. There's people I don't know that I'm willing to love for a nominal fee if you want to do this. Back in the beginning of COVID, when it started, I wrote a poem that was inspired by Dr. Seuss. I'm a big Dr. Seuss fan. The good stuff, not the problematic stuff. And I wrote this poem that was basically kind of a wishful thing about when this would end, not knowing if and how it was going to end. And I went back and I revisited it, and I thought that's a good way to end this. So if you'll indulge me here, we'll leave it with this poem. It's called Oh, the Places You'll Go Drink.
Can I intro this really quickly?
Yeah.
And now reading time.
And here it is.
With Dan Dunn.
Reading time. Well, I'm an author. I write books.
I know.
I've done readings.
There's three authors on this book.
Here we go. Congratulations. The virus has gone away.
Woo!
You're off to drink whiskey. You're off and away. You have money in your wallet. You have a great thirst for booze. You can get a cocktail or shot any place you choose. You're on your own, and you know what to think. And you are the one who'll decide what to drink. You'll look at cocktail lists. Look them over with care. About some, you will say, I don't choose to go there. With your wallet full of money and a thirst that is great, you're too smart to drink anything second rate. You may not find Woodford or Michter's or Whistlepig, but fret not, oh no, you'll find something to swig. There's a Kentucky bourbon trail for you to avail. On that trail, things can happen and frequently do to devoted whiskey drinkers as thirsty as you. And then things start to happen. Don't worry, don't stew. Just enjoy that angel's envy, aged in char number 2. Oh, the places you'll go drink. You will come to a place where the entrance is not marked. They call it a speakeasy. It's cool and it's dark. A place you could drink scotch or vodka or even gin. Do you dare stay out? Hell no, you're going in. It's happy hour after all. Not to celebrate would be a sin. And when you go in, oh, what will you try? An old fashioned, a mint julep, or a caraway rye? You could drink something neat or with an ice cube. With so many options, I'm afraid you will find it's hard for a mind maker-upper to make up her mind. You've been stuck at home forever, all that waiting and staying, but now you can go to where the cover bands are playing. All the bars have reopened. Once more, you're riding high, ready for the next round, oh my, because you're a next round buying kind of guy. Oh, the places you'll go. There's beam to be sipped. There are friends to be hugged. Bartenders to be tipped. And don't forget that.
Don't forget your wait staff, everybody.
And the magical things you can do in a bar will serve as a reminder of how awesome things are. The quarantine is over. You're happy as can be. You're not stuck on your couch streaming awful TV. It's been so long since everything went wrong. The truth is that 2020 and 2021 have been very tough years. You've suffered greatly. You've cried many tears. Life is hard, whether you like it or not. And alone is something you've been quite a lot. When you were alone, there's a very good chance you missed going out and socializing. You missed wearing pants. But you held it together, donning masks, doing Zooms, even though at times you were running on fumes. But on you went, though the world had gone crazy. On you kept going, even when you felt lazy. You homeschooled your kids while working two jobs. Onward you trudged, you were up to the task. Though let's face it, at times, you really needed that flask. Now you are back, having a cocktail at your favorite bar. You took an Uber, not your car. And you've forgotten your problems, whatever they are. The world is still mad, of course, as you already know. There's a strange new normal. It's like any normal you've known. So be sure when you imbibe, do so with care and moderation, and remember that life's both a tragedy and a celebration. Just never forget to work hard at being happy, and never mix up your ten-hai with your pappy. And will you be okay? Yes, you will indeed. 98.75% guaranteed. Friend, you'll raise many a toast. So be it Makers or Baker's or Noah's Mill or George T. Stagg, Bullet or Heaven Hill. You're off to have whiskey. Today is the day. Your bar stool is waiting, so get on your way. Woo! And thank you, everybody. Thank you so much. It's been a great time doing this.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.